Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Imagine you were given a 3x5 index card. And now imagine that on that card you had to write your 5 favorite songs. I have no doubt that most of you could write down 5 if you could narrow that down. And I would be willing to take a wager, at least I would if I was a betting man, that after each of you write down your 5 favorite songs, if I were to look, every single one of you would have written down at least one song that describes a person's heart. Maybe the songs you chose are about a heart that is overflowing with love for another person, such as Ring of Fire or She Loves You. Or maybe of a heart that has been broken because love ended, perhaps Heartbreak or Hotel, or I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Perhaps instead it's the heart of the writer and the singer that cries out for something else that they simply enjoy doing, or something else that they love. Maybe money, that's what I want. Maybe racing cars with Hot Rod Lincoln. Maybe surfing with Surfing USA. Or sadly, maybe even the love of drugs, like Eric Clapton's song Cocaine. It's no mystery why the desires of the heart have produced some of the greatest and most beloved songs that have ever been written. We are creatures, after all, that more often than not are guided by our hearts, regardless of the pay and the benefits. If you don't love your job, if your heart is just not in it, you're going to be miserable and you're going to wish that you could be doing something else. Those of us who are married or who are hoping to be married one day soon, we don't sit down with the spreadsheet and weigh someone's financial prospects and stability against their family history or their peculiarities. At least I don't think we do. Usually it just comes down to one simple thing, whether or not we love them. It's our heart that loves people, even if our family says they're no good for us. It's our heart that tells us to say yes and give someone a second chance, even if our head is telling us not to. It's our hearts that hurt when relationships end. But when everything's going well, it's our heart that just overflows with love for this person that tells us we will do anything, and I do mean anything, for them. Because we are emotional creatures, because our hearts are so important to us, many American Christians, maybe even some of you sitting here in this room, can tell the story of when you made the decision to give your heart to Jesus. But hearing the words of the gospel reading today, maybe you're starting to think that that wasn't such a good idea. Maybe giving your heart to Jesus is no more appropriate than giving your spouse a rusty tin can as an anniversary present. In our gospel reading, Jesus had just finished rebuking the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were agitated that Jesus' disciples were not observing the traditions of the elders and giving their hands a good ceremonial washing before they ate their food. Jesus puts them in their place. He tells them that human traditions are not the commandments of God. And he points out that they had elevated these traditions of the elders to a position higher than the words of God himself. Right after accusing them to their faces, he tells the crowd that nothing that goes into your body defiles you. Instead, it's what comes out of your body that does that. And then we see in private, away from the crowds, the disciples asked him to explain. After all, does not Leviticus give a wide array of animals that says you shall not eat this, it is unclean to you? Is Jesus teaching that going to the bathroom defiles you because it's what comes out? They were full of questions. But our Lord Jesus had the answer. And the answer came down to the human heart. All foods are clean, Jesus said. The disciples understood later that these dietary laws of Leviticus pointed ahead to the Messiah. Now that the Messiah had come, all foods were clean. So far, so good. But what comes out of the heart, that is what defiles a person. To defile in the biblical sense is to profane, pollute, desecrate, ruin, make filthy, stain, and the like. A holy place like a temple or a holy person like a child of God that is defiled goes from being holy to, well, unholy, common, not unique or special in the slightest. To be defiled is to be ruined. And according to Christ, it's our hearts that produce those things which in fact defile and ruin us. He gives us a list, a litany: evil thoughts, sexual immorality and adultery, theft, murder, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. When we recall that our Lord taught that not merely doing a sin, but even having the desire for it is also a sin, who among us can look at this list and dare say, not me, I'm not defiled, not now, not ever? If even being angry is the same as murder, if even looking at someone with lust is adultery, who among us can make the claim that we are pure? Not me. And I'm willing to bet not any of you either. Throughout the scriptures, our God has very harsh things to say about the human heart. In Genesis, just before wiping out all of humanity except for Noah and his family, God noted that every intention of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Speaking of his own people in Judah, just before the Babylonians sacked and burned Jerusalem, God said through Jeremiah, his prophet, the human heart is deceitful above all things. These people have a stubborn and rebellious heart. So awful were they. God had to promise that one day he would take away their hearts of stone and instead give them hearts of flesh. One of the most powerful of Satan's flaming arrows is when he tells a sinner, follow your heart. This is what we see. From sea to shining sea with our own eyes, how many broken marriages, one night stands, cohabitations, litanies of failed relationships, one right after the other, are we aware of? How many people can do and will do and indeed do anything they can to get rich, to get successful, to satisfy that longing in their heart for money and power, and then drown their sorrows in bottles and pills and in needles when those desires never come to fruition? How many broken homes are there? How many unspeakable acts of violence or perversion are committed because someone decided to follow their heart, even if it meant other people had to be hurt and pay the price? The official motto of our nation could very well be the words of a man whose moral failings are too repugnant to actually say aloud in a church, yet never fails to get a standing ovation whenever he makes a Hollywood appearance. It was Mr. Woody Allen who famously said, the heart wants what the heart wants. Many of us have followed our hearts or listened to our hearts when we should not have and are sitting here now with hearts that are broken or bruised and perhaps still healing. When our own hearts produce these awful sins which defile us, we know we cannot rely on ourselves to be fixed, can we? Following our hearts, listening to our hearts will only make the problem worse. If these are the things that come out of our hearts, what does that say about the heart itself? We echo the words of St. Paul. We cry out, who can save me from this body of death? Maybe we modify his words. Who can save me from my own heart of darkness? Thanks be to God. Because it was out of love and compassion for us and our defiled hearts that Christ came in the first place. He speaks the truth of our hearts, yes, but he also promises a different heart, a new heart, certainly a better heart. At just the right time, while we were weak and powerless and defiled, our Lord and God claimed us as his own. Through baptism, through the hearing of the gospel, God does something wonderful. He takes away that heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, just as he promised. A heart that can respond to our Lord, not with defilement or sin, but with joy and with love. How often have you sang the words? How often have you prayed to God the very words, create in me a clean heart, O God? Well, the Lord has heard you, and the Lord has done precisely that. Because in Christ, God indeed does give us a new heart, we can with sincerity hear some of the most beloved passages in the whole of the Scriptures, and we can truthfully say, that's me. Those words are my own. We can hear the promise of Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we can say, that's me. I will see God. We can hear the words of St. Paul. With the heart, one believes and is justified. And we can say, that's me. I'm justified. I am declared holy and righteous and forgiven by God himself. We can hear the words of Moses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And we can say, yes, that is me. We can read the words of Solomon as he wrote, trust in the Lord with your whole heart and lean not on your own understanding. Or in the words of David, his father, as he sang, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. And these words become our very own. Yes, we still have that sinful heart in us, out of which come things which defile us. This side of heaven, we're still sinners. This is true. But by faith, God has given you a new heart, and this side of heaven, you are a saint. This is true. This is a heart into which our Lord has poured the Holy Spirit, the heart that loves God, the heart that rejoices in all of his promises, the heart that is able to produce the good things that point to our Lord that has saved us. Good things like keeping the commandments, our love and faithfulness that we have for our spouse, our words of kindness or encouragement, our generosity, our humbleness and our humility, our giving, our forgiving of others who have wronged us. Yes, as Christians, we do truly good things because thanks be to God, we do truly have good hearts. And he knows because he's the one who put it there. This tension we have between a heart that defiles and a heart that loves, a heart of stone and a heart of flesh. This tension will only end when we die or when Christ comes back. Hopefully that happens first. But until that sinful heart stops beating, never to start up again, what do we do? We confess our sins and we come to the table with the promise that we are forgiven by God himself. Confess your sins in the name of the one who was crucified and had his own heart pierced by a spear for you. And you are indeed forgiven. Come to the table to that foretaste of the feast to come. Looking ahead to that day in which God will raise you from the dead. And then your heart, which will be nothing but holy, will produce songs of praise and joy to God. that surpass anything that so far has been written here on earth. That heart which is nothing but holy, that will never again defile you and will never, ever stop beating. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until that promise, life everlasting. In his name, amen.